This sermon is pray always and stay alert. And we're reading Ephesians 6:18. Tell us which version and read.
It's NLT.
Good.
Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love it. Amen. Ephesians 6:18. Which another version? Ephesians 6:18. Yes? Yes. You can take both. I can go for it. Tell us which version. Ephesians 6:18.
So, Ephesians 6:18. This is from English Standard Version. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints.
I like that. More. Ephesians 6:18. Another version. Tell us which version.
NKJV. Praying always and all prayer.
Praying
always.
That is a new dimension. I like it. I like the way it has taken a different approach. Praying what?
Always.
Continue, please.
With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen.
So let's have one more version. Amplified. Yes, just pass it forward. Ephesians 6:18. Tell us which version you're using.
Amplified. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion and in every season, in the Spirit, and with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people.
Amen. You see the words coming out there? Perseverance, petition. Amen. Hallelujah. So where I'm going to start from, I'm going to start from the New King James Version to just get some points in. It says, praying what?
Always.
How often should you pray? Hallelujah. How often should you pray?
Always.
The temperature of your spiritual life is measured, yeah, by three things. Three. Yeah? One is your engagement with the Word of God. Hallelujah. You can locate a true believer and an unbeliever by the Word. A true believer loves the Word of God. An unbeliever, what? Is uncomfortable. Hello? Yeah, that's why they are unbeliever. They don't believe. So they are what?
Uncomfortable.
Now, if your church is loaded with entertainment, an unbeliever will be comfortable. Hello? Hello? Like if you go to the stadium to watch football. Can you give me how many people attend a full stadium when Manchester, any of them, is playing with what's the other top team? Okay, you can see the loyalties. But we need to measure a different town. Arsenal. Anybody can guess the capacity of stadium?
100k.
100k? Is that not a lot? Could that be true? Anybody can give me actual attendance at stadium? Who follows football? Say? How many? Okay, try Google. Capacity. Stadium capacity. At Manchester United Stadium. Or Manchester City. Just start, search for stadium or attendance at the match. Like, you really want to gather the crowd. What?
Average
is what?
73,000.
So, Ryan is sort of right. Average 73,000 means that peak could be up to what?
100,000.
Amen? So, if you want to gather the crowd, the mob, what do you need to do? Play football. But don't just play football. Buy the best stars in the world if you have money from United Arab Emirates. It's oil money. Buy them. Gather the best stars, the best thing. Yeah? And declare a football match. You will get what? 100,000. Why? Why? Why is that so? Why is that true? When 100,000 people, most of whom are men, go to sit down in a stadium for 4 hours to watch 22 men kicking a ball around the field. Why? Come on, please give us any reason. Let me try the youth. Yeah, I'm coming to you. Why would they do it? Do you know? You can pass, but you can try.
Pause.
You pass. Okay. Why would they do it?
Because people really like football.
Who like football? Why would they do it?
Because it's easy, and they don't have to think or do anything. They just have to watch.
Yes, they don't have to think. Thank you. I like that more.
Because they'll be entertained.
Because they'll be entertained more. It's easy. They don't have to think. They don't do anything. They just have to. What's your qualification? If you need to be at the stadium, what do you need to do? You know how to shout, yeah?
It's for pride.
Pride? You need to know. Like, for example, I come from Nigeria originally. There are people in Nigeria. They've never been to the UK. They don't know who is Arsenal or Man United. They never met them. But they are fighting on the streets of Nigeria. Yeah, because they are supporting different teams. And they are fighting each other because of Arsenal and what? And Manchester United. Man! This steals more to men. It's a shame. Really? It's the work of Satan. Who is working? It's Satan. Hallelujah. So if you can set off entertainment, you will get a crowd. Hello? You get what? Let's look at another one. It's the place in the UK they talk about that you get crowd for music. Brother Nick should know that place. What's the name of the place or the event? You want to get a crowd for music or concert. Where do people rush to every year?
Wembley.
Wembley, yes, there's another name, starting with G. G.
Is it O2?
O2, there's another one. Glaston something. What? So, is that the same place as Wembley? No.
Wembley's in London. That's
yeah.
The venue.
Uh-huh.
Glastonbury's outside.
Oh, yes, thank you. Wembley is the stadium and O2, then Glastonbury is like open air. And anybody gets the attendance at this event? Glastonbury, anybody can guess? I think some people don't know what Glastonbury is. But anybody can guess. How many people do you think?
100,000.
100,000? That's why your brother's this friend. he still asks of you on Thursday. Yes, anyone guess me the attendance at Glastonbury? You see, I'm going somewhere. I'm really down to earth here.
Approximately 200K.
Approximately what? So, what does that tell us about music concert versus football? Interpret that data. Manchester United Stadium, 100K capacity. Glastonbury Festival, 200K. What does that tell you? Music versus football.
Music's very spiritual.
Spiritual. I can take that. That's right. It's right on the edge between the emotional and the spiritual. It's right on the, there's a thin line that can cross over. Yes, Ma?
It's hypnotic.
It's hypnotic. And that's still, you know, it's just giving us another shade of meaning along that line. It's right on that boundary. There is, it's a very thin line between the emotional realm and the spiritual realm. It's very thin. It can cross over easily. And when you're on the boundary, you cannot discern. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God helps you to separate between the spirit and the soul. Because the line can be so thin, that it's so blurred, you cannot discern it. Only the word of God will locate it, that this is, it's looking spiritual, but it is emotional. Yes, ma'am?
Football is more male dominated, whereas music is more like everybody.
Yes.
Female, so it tends to get more crowd.
Thank you. So music is more powerful than football. Put your hands up for Pastor Pray. Exonerate me. Hallelujah. It is. It actually is more powerful than football. Amen. So if I want to gather a crowd in church, they don't really love God. But I want the big numbers. What do I need to do? What do I need? Somebody's, let me find somebody who wasn't quiet. Yeah. Like this church now wants big crowd. Yeah? Every Sunday. 4 services. What do I need to do?
We need a music festival.
Yes. Just invest in music. Yeah? The best equipment, the best musicians. Yeah? And throw a gig every Sunday in the name of the Lord. This church will be full. Hallelujah. Well, most of the people coming, we not really know God. And they will not really love God either. They only come because of the entertainment. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? That's why the Bible says that many are called. It's only few that are chosen. The Bible says that the way that leads to destruction is broad. Matthew 7. Open your Bible to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 verse 13 and 14. Yes? Who has been quiet? Matthew 7. You need to warm up. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Who has it? Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Tell us which version and go for it.
No. NKJV. Is that okay?
Yes.
Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it.
And many. You know, like, I've been born again. I've been a believer in Christ, not just a churchgoer, for about 37 years. Consistent. No drawing back. No drawing back. Not from birth. I mean, from the time I started believing and from the moment I made Jesus the Lord of my life, consciously and willfully, I've worked with him for 37 years. Hallelujah. But as I've grown spiritually, because you can grow. You can, even as a pastor, you can be growing spiritually. Actually, if you're no longer growing spiritually, you are regressing. You can never be static. Spiritually. Never ever. And it is possible. It is possible that you've reached a spiritual height in your life. But the moment you stop growing, you regress. Hallelujah. You regress. You can ungrow spiritually. But as I was growing, I've learned to take the words of Jesus Christ. So basically, there are many writers who wrote the Bible, and rightly so, because there's only one author of the Bible, and he is God through the Holy Spirit. But the way, if this Bible, therefore, the way to self-validate this Bible is to let many authors, human authors, write it. So you can see many authors. But you can still see that it's one message. Because Jesus said, God says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Even in God, there's three witnesses. Hello? In God, there's what? Three witnesses. Someone said, oh, but the God you are serving, nobody has ever seen the God you are serving. No, that's not true. Jesus came, we saw him. Hallelujah. People saw him, people heard with him. Hallelujah. So God has been seen. Hallelujah. Oh, but God said, oh, but Jesus has gone now and God is in heaven, so we don't know. No, the Holy Spirit is here. He lives in me. He spoke to me this morning. Hallelujah. There's three witnesses in God. And so you see, your Bible, written by many authors, but it's one message, is self-validating. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus going to the cross. Hallelujah. We read that in Isaiah 53. Then in Matthew, and Mark and Luke and John, we actually see Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. So it's self-validating. So, but I found out that despite that there's so many authors, there's one special. You see, the whole message in the Bible is about one person. Hallelujah. The whole message here is about what? One person. Who is that person? The clue, John chapter 1. It said, in the beginning was what? Was the Word. Genesis 1:1. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, the Word became flesh and it dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory. He was full of grace and truth. Another version calls that He's full of love and faithfulness. I want you to understand that grace is about the same thing as love. It's love that makes grace possible. Are you with me? And faithfulness is about the same thing as truth. When you are faithful, you are practicing truth. When you are unfaithful, you are practicing a lie. Hallelujah. So I've learned to pay more attention to the words of Jesus. Special attention. Pay attention to the Bible, but pay special attention to what Jesus is saying. So what Jesus said? He said, the road to destruction. What? Is what? It's broad. It's easy. It's comfortable. Yeah? It's entertaining. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you find crowd. Many crowd. Yeah? On that road. Hallelujah. But the road that will lead you to life. Yeah? I did not say it. Jesus. Someone say, you know, when I was younger, someone asked me, say, who is the man, why is this man that ever lived? Who is the wisest man that ever lived? Let's study young people.
Solomon?
Hallelujah. Solomon is not the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon is too small. In fact, we don't know whether Solomon is in heaven. It could be in hell right now. Hallelujah. Because at the end of his days, he worshipped idols. Hallelujah. He married 700 wives. And he had 300 concubines. And his wives, they led him into idolatry. The same person that built the temple of God. You don't understand the tragedy of that story. Solomon built the temple of God. He invested gold and silver. And he built the most magnificent temple. When they were dedicating the temple, he sacrificed 1,000 sheep. 1,000. And the glory of God came down on the temple. But that same person that built the temple of God, yeah, he built shrines for idols after. He built many shrines. The idols were the gods of his wives. It's in the Bible, read it. Hallelujah. May that not be your story in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The wisest man that ever lived is wisdom himself. Hallelujah. The wisest man that ever lived is who? Wisdom himself. It's Jesus Christ. He lived. Solomon lived, but Jesus also what? He lived. Hallelujah. The difference is that Jesus, Solomon died, but Jesus died and rose again. So Jesus is alive forevermore. Not in spiritual form, even physically. Yeah? He has a physical resurrected body today. Jesus can visit you. Hallelujah. So we say, Jesus can visit me anytime he chooses to. He's alive. Hallelujah. So pay attention to him. Pay attention. You know, like the disciples went with Jesus Christ to the top of a mountain. And when you got to the top of this mountain, Jesus transformed before them and they saw him. He was shining bright. He was shining a light. He was full of glory. Yeah? And they were so awestruck. Awestruck. They said, Peter said, you know what? Let's just... And then Moses and Elijah came and appeared beside Jesus. By the auntie something. If Moses and Elijah can appear beside Jesus on that mount, it tells something. Moses and Elijah are not dead. Because if they are dead, they can't. Because it's appointed to a man to die what? Once. And after that, if someone has died, they cannot appear on earth again. If they appear on earth, it's a demon or a devil appearing. Ghosts are not real people. They are demons and evil spirits. Are you following that? But if Moses and Elijah could appear, they are not dead. They still have a physical body preserved. And that's why they are coming back as the two witnesses. Are you with me? But that's not the point. The point is that when they saw this glory, Peter was like, oh, let's just build, let's camp here. We love this glory, it's entertainment. Amen? Bible says that as Peter was talking, a cloud came and appeared. And a voice came and said, God was speaking from heaven, said, this is my beloved son. Hear. That's the important bit. The important bit is not to build a camp around the entertainment. Hear him. Listen to him. Listen to him and build your life on what he has to say. Are you following me? So when Jesus says that the way to life is narrow, please, I beg you, take him seriously. Nobody has ever been to, no man has ever been to heaven except the one that came down. So that's why Jesus is the only one that knows the way. Yeah? Are you listening to me? Jesus is the only one that knows the way to heaven, because he's the only one that came down from heaven. Any other prophet cannot help you because they didn't come down from heaven. They are born of a woman. Hallelujah. Jesus was born of a woman, but his father is God. Biologically speaking, DNA. His DNA came from who? From God. That's his father. He has to have a biological father. It's the God that took the word through the Holy Spirit and planted it in the womb of Mary. Amen? Hallelujah. So he said the way to life is narrow and only few ever find it. That's the point I wanted to make, that please turn to your neighbor, smile at them like you loved them. Particularly if they were your wife. Turn to your neighbor, smile at them like you loved them. Turn and smile. Tell them, say, I choose to be one of the few that we enter into life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, coming back to the topic, he said, pray always. Yeah? It's a fundamental leg of your spiritual life. Hallelujah. Pray what? Always. He said, praying always. With all prayer, or all kinds of prayer. There are different kinds of prayer. There's not only one kind of prayer. There are different kinds, and I'll talk about them. All kinds of prayers and supplication. And don't stop there. He said, watch or stay alert. Hallelujah. Stay alert. Stay alert. You know why you need to stay alert? Open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Peter 5:8. Let's have two versions. Anyone who has not read yet? Yes. 1 Peter 5:8.
New King James. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, another version before I dive in. I wanted to dive in, but let me wait. Ephesians 5:8. Who's ready? Another version? Yes. 1 Peter 5:8.
NLT.
Yes.
Stay alert.
Stay alert!
Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Amen. And that's what we see in Matthew 26:41 that says, watch and pray. It's not only pray alone, it's watch. It means that if I am praying, but I'm not watching, I am compromising my prayer. It is possible to spend many hours praying and you are not having result because you are not watching. Hallelujah. You are not staying alert.
you are not being sober. Hallelujah. You are intoxicated with entertainment. That you can write that down. It's a good thing to write down. Entertainment can intoxicate you. Please write it down. In fact, most people today, the way the devil has gotten them is the intoxication of what? Entertainment. The reason why some people are not in church is why? Is the intoxication of entertainment. Entertainment is a wine. Write it down. It's a good thing. Entertainment is like alcohol. In fact, alcohol is a form of entertainment. What was it? It can intoxicate you. Yeah? And once you are intoxicated, you are sleeping spiritually. You're no longer spiritually sensitive. Spiritual things don't mean much to you anymore. It's not your value. The only time you are seeking God is when you have a problem. Then when your problem is sorted, yeah, you are off again to your entertainment. You are not seeking God for a relationship. You are not interested in relationship with God. You are only interested in what God can do for you. And once He has done it, you go back to your intoxication. Are you with me? Now, if we gave you entertainment in church, you will come, but you will not go to heaven. That's the issue there. Let me explain that to you. You see, for people who are interested with entertainment, if we bring entertainment to church, they will come. I don't know if you are following what I'm saying. If we bring the football to the church, people will come and watch the football. You get it? If we bring the music, the Glastonbury, to church, just repackage it in the name of the Lord, people will come. But they will not go to heaven. Because their heart is not with God. Their heart, they're only coming, what? For the entertainment. You know, I can put this in for the Bible. If you know your Bible very well, there was a time that Jesus fed people 5,000. 5,000 men were fed. So Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He blessed it. Yeah? It was a miracle. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. They were on the mount. No food. He blessed it. And told them to serve it. And as he broke it, he kept multiplying. 5,000 men were fed. Besides women and children. So at least 15,000 people were fed. If we count 1 woman and 1 child. If we count 2 children per family, at least 20,000 people were fed. Do you know what happened after this experience? They began to look for Jesus every day. Crowds were looking for Jesus. You know, Jesus would be happy. Ah, finally, we have conquered this country. We are popular now. We are popular. Yeah? Let's buy equipment. Yeah? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said that you are not looking for me because you love the word of God. You are looking for me because you hate the bread. And you are looking for more bread. Did he give them? No. He gave them the word of God. And they all decided. Only his disciples remain. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something. The irony of it, the paradox is that if he had kept giving them the bread, they would keep coming. But they are not going to heaven. You see, because they only came for what? Entertainment. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. You know, our anchor verse for today is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. But I want to take you to Ephesians 5, 18. And I hope that you are sitting there, you know that you are being fed spiritually, because that's what you get in this church. It's a guarantee. It's a church for those who want to be true disciples. It's a church for those who want really want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. This is a church for those who are really hungry for righteousness. That's just the way it is. I can't do it any other way. I just can't. I'd rather resign than give you entertainment. I can't do it. I just resign. If that was the only way, I resign. Hallelujah. I have to give you truth. Because only the truth will make you free. Only the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:18, let's read it. Ephesians 5:18. Yes. Ephesians 5:18. Who is awake? Entertainment will intoxicate you and make you sleep spiritually. You no longer be alert. Ephesians 5:18.
and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay. Another version. Ephesians 5:18. Yes.
New King James. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Another version, amplified, any other version? This corner is too quiet. Yes, thank you. Ephesians 5:18.
New Living Translation.
Yes.
Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life.
It will ruin you.
Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit.
But you know today that the wine there is not just alcohol, like alcohol spirit. It's entertainment. In fact, the reason why people drink alcohol is because we entertain them. It's just the same way as swallowing ecstasy drug. Alcohol is, I take ecstasy drug, I mix it with apple juice. See, what I'm saying is that entertainment has the capability to intoxicate you, including football. And that's the man. And you can enter a frenzy that looks spiritual, but it's emotional. Are you with me? Instead of praying, you can invite a top gospel musician, go for the concert, and live there with an emotional frenzy. And you thought that you've had a spiritual encounter with God. But, and because of that, you won't pray. You'll just be organizing programs. And say, we are reaching many lives. You're not reaching many lives. You're reaching the crowd who are going nowhere. Hallelujah. Because the crowd love to be entertained. Hallelujah. The crowd are not in for relationship. Hallelujah. Because relationship costs you. Relationship is built on trust. Hallelujah. Or another word for trust is faith. Commitment. Hallelujah. Relationship is a product of what? Of what? What's relationship a product of? Commitment. Intimacy is the reward of commitment. If I want to be intimate with God, I got to be committed to God. Do you get it? You can't be intimate with God just by sitting on the chair and, you know, clapping your hands, saying nice gospel music. Amen? It's commitment. Part of your commitment is prayer. Hallelujah. What is prayer? Let's define prayer. What's prayer? Come on, church, help me. What is prayer? Let's know that we even know what it means to pray. Actually, before we go there, let me tidy up that still out. So it says be sober. Say I choose to be sober. You know what it means to be sober? Be clear-headed. Hallelujah. What will stop you from being sober is what? Two things. Entertainment. It's the master tool of Satan. I can assure you. It's the master tool of Satan. That's why this generation is a generation that we should cry for. I'm not talking about just the young people. I'm not talking about the adults now. I'm talking about the young generation. Because it's a generation, trained, built up on what? Entertainment. So by default, they will be spiritually empty. Except you do something about it. Are you with me? Entertainment is intoxication. That's why I celebrate when the children come and they memorize the Bible and come to say, because they are now able to focus their mind. They understand that my life is all about playing, comfort, and pleasure. Hallelujah. It's also about your life is more important than comfort and pleasure. Hallelujah. That is just, it's not the main meal, it's just the dessert. Hallelujah. When ice cream becomes your main meal. Yeah, breakfast, ice cream, vanilla. Lunch, ice cream. Which flavor do you like? Strawberry. Dinner, ice cream. Which flavor? Chocolate. Hallelujah. Be clear-headed. Be sober. Hallelujah. Stay alert. Stay what? Hallelujah. So when you are alert, what are the evidence that you are staying alert? Or what else stay alert?
come to church on Sunday. Amen? In case you were sleeping spiritually, somebody in the church, God will use them to wake you up. If it's a good church. If you go to the world of entertainment, they will blow you wind. And you will sleep more. Hallelujah. And the worst about this is that you go back, go and feeling touched by God. No, it was your emotions. They were driven into, you were driven to the boundary between the emotional and the spiritual. But you never really touched God. Because every time you touch God, and I preach this over and over again, God never changes. Open your Bible to Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. Now, don't be worried about the fact that I'm not going too deep here. I'm just yielding to the Holy Spirit because there's a part 2 and part 3 of this message which we'll do in future Sundays. So don't worry. I'll take my time. I'm not in a hurry. You're going to teach it line upon line. Now, where did I tell you to open to? Yes, let's read it. Malachi 3:6. Yes, who's ready? One of the reasons why I go around is just to help you stay alert. It's very important to me that when I'm preaching, I don't want anybody sleeping or in Canada. Malachi 3:6.
For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob.
Yeah, hallelujah. What is one of the greatest characteristics of God? God cannot be faithful if he changed. The reason why God is reliable is that he does not what?
He won't change.
Are you with me? Another version. Malachi 3:6. Another version. One more version. Malachi 3:6. Let's try the young man. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6.
Yeah, that's from NKJV. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed.
Hallelujah.
O son of Jacob.
O son of Jacob. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is faithful. Because yesterday, today, and forever, he remains the same. Hallelujah. You can depend on him. You can rely on him. You can trust in him. Hallelujah. And Psalm 119 verse 89 tells us that forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens. Hallelujah. 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 So when you come to church, yeah? Even if if you go to a genuine church, even if your fire is going down, there's somewhere in that church that has fire. And when you move near there, you catch it. Hallelujah. If you want to keep the coals in your fireplace burning, you have to keep them together. If you isolate one, how long do you need before it goes? Yeah? Before your fire goes out? It's not going to be long. Hallelujah. So, part of the ways you're going to stay alive, yeah? It's fellowship. In fact, you told me, I told you that there are two keys to staying alive. Yeah? Two major keys. One, fellowship. Secondly is that there are things you need to cut out from your life. You know, just say if your right eye offends you, cut it out. It's not telling you, please don't go and cut your hand or your eye. But it's trying to tell you that there is something in your life that you ought to observe after a while that this thing, though it looks good, is compromising me. Hallelujah. If there's something in your life that it looks good, but it's compromising you spiritually, there must be a stage that you stop putting up with. Well, if it's disposable. Some things are not disposable. Okay. Don't dispose your wife and say she's compromising you. Make it work. If you are willing. Yeah? God is able. They start to understand. Say, if you are willing, God is able. The problem is never the ability of God. The problem is never what? God never lost ability. The problem is your willingness. Many times God wants to work in your life, but you are not hungry, you are not willing. God has food ready for you, but you are not ready to eat it.
You see, the solution to whatever problem you have spiritually is somewhere. Sometimes you need to leave where you are and go and, Bible says, seek and you shall what? And you shall find. It's somewhere. But you're not seeking it. So it's not God failing you. It's you refusing to. God will never put the grapes, yeah, on your table. You put it on the tree. Then you will go and pluck it. Hallelujah. It's God's job to make the grapes grow. You can't make it grow. Can you? But what's your job?
Go and pluck it.
Seek and you will
find.
But you will not seek if you are not hungry. And you will not be hungry if you are intoxicated with the wrong thing. Hallelujah. Let me begin to pull this message together. I could go longer, we could start someone later, but let me just pull it together. You need to stay alive. But you're not staying alive for fun. You're staying alive so that you can pray. So let's go back to that question. What is prayer? What is prayer? I didn't forget you.
Communicate with God.
Communicate with God. You want to say something more?
To make a relationship with God.
Because if you are not going to, relationship is built on what? Communication. So if you're not going to, you see people who like entertainment, they don't know interested. You see, the prayer meeting is the least attended meeting in the church over 2,000 years. Do you agree? Any church. If you want to find the smallest numbers, go to prayer meeting. Why? Why? Tell me why. Why? Why is the Christmas concert one of the most attended meetings and the prayer meeting the least attended?
Lack of discipline.
Lack of discipline, yes. More? Why? Anybody? Why is the prayer meeting the least attended meeting? Is it that people don't like to communicate with God?
Oh. It's, for me, it's hard to pray for like an hour or more.
Good. Yes. Hard to pray. It's hard to pray. It's easy to dance to music.
People think it's a side meeting. It's another meeting. It's an extra meeting. Yes. So if they were to prioritize, they would take the Sunday service over prayer meeting.
Yes. Yes. More answers. That's another person. One more person. I'm trying to show you something today.
I think it's not entertaining.
It's not. Please put your hands together for this man. I like it. You know, I was not thinking of that answer, but it captures it nicely. It is what? It is not entertaining. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not entertaining. The flesh does not like to pray. Mean that prayer does not feed your flesh. It feeds your spirit. Hallelujah. You see, that's why I said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Hallelujah. But you're not going to overcome the weakness of the flesh if you don't have strength in your spirit. You need inner strength if you're going to survive spiritually and even mentally and emotionally in today's world. You need inner strength. The reason why people are, you know, why mental health is degrading is that the inner strength is slow, low. And your inner strength will be low when God is out of the picture. Your spiritual life is empty. Hallelujah. 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 And so, when people's spiritual life is empty, all they are depending on is on their mental and emotional strength. But your mental and emotional strength also feeds from your spiritual strength. Hallelujah. So yes, you can have mental and emotional resilience, but there is a limit. If you keep pushing it, there's a point you will break. Even the strongest of us. You know, when I feel low, you can ask my wife, I go to pray. I say, you know what, I just say, don't worry, once I pray. And in my prayer, I'll tell you the secret of my prayer. If I'm praying for 1 hour, I'm praising God and thanking God for 30 minutes. Hallelujah. By the time I'm through that session and I talk to God and tell him my feelings and this thing is 1 hour, no matter what has happened, strength has come. Inner. The situation has not changed, but strength comes. Hallelujah. So let me try this in. So 3 legs of your spiritual life. You need the word. You need to engage with what? The word. The Bible study. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Everyone. That's why when people were looking for Jesus for bread, he gave them word. Then those who didn't like the word, they left. Because I want to understand there are people who don't like the word. You know why? They are unbelievers. You cannot expect an unbeliever to like the word of God. Does it make sense what I'm trying to say? Because the person who will like the word of God is the believer. Because faith comes by hearing what? The word. So if someone is not interested in having faith, they will not like the word. Now that makes logical sense. If an unbeliever begins to like your preaching has a problem. It includes entertainment. Are you following me? Because if they really did like it, they ought to believe. Do you follow? Like, if someone really likes your preaching, they ought to be what? A believer. And if someone is a believer, they will love to be in fellowship. One of the ways you can measure whether someone is a believer is, what is their, how happy are they to be in church? If it's something they are struggling to do and you are begging them day and night, please come, please come. You are trying to cajole them. It's telling you that their belief has a problem. Are you with me? Yeah? So you need the word. So if my spiritual life is going well, every day I should be engaging with the word of God. We call that Bible study. Yeah? Or meditation. Like someone said today, like my brother said, you see, there's only so much you can dig into yourself for strength. You need some. You see, to get strength, you need something bigger than you. Hallelujah. You can't trust yourself. Trust is always outward looking. What is trust? It's outward looking. You can trust your husband. You can trust your son, your father. Because trust is trying to rely. When you say I trust, you are relying on something or someone. So it's outward looking. So you can't trust yourself. To trust, you need something outside of you. And to have good trust, you need something stronger than you in that area that you can rely on. Hallelujah. You can't trust an unreliable person. They will let you down. Expect it. Hallelujah. Don't deceive yourself. Some people's mental health breaks down because they are trusting the wrong person. So when they are let down, they were like, you don't trust an unreliable person. The person you can trust most is the person who cannot change. That is the qualification for trust is that they don't change. So you can rely on them. And only one person, ultimately, you should trust people. You can't really have a relationship without trusting. But you know that even the person you are trusting, they have weaknesses. Please. Like when you're in a relationship, try to identify the weaknesses of your partner. Yeah? And be humble enough to recognize that they have those weaknesses. Don't use it against them. Find a way to help them to their weaknesses. If you can. And if you can't, pray for them for their weaknesses. Don't use it against them. Are you with me? Because before you met them, they had the weakness. Hallelujah. And if they will ever overcome their weakness, they need God. You are not the fixer. So first of all, say to yourself that, you know what? Can I live with this person with this weakness for the rest of my life? If you can settle that, you have a happy relationship. Yeah? That doesn't mean they won't change. But you recognize that you are not the one who has the power to change them. So what do you do to change them? You have to trust God. What is the proof that you are trusting God? What is the proof that you are trusting God? You pray! So I say, I'm trusting God, you know, to do this, but they are not praying. You pray. Hallelujah. You pray. Prayer is the way you invite God into your life. Are you with me? And that's the reason why we have prayer meetings in the church. Those who are looking for internet will not come. But what about you? What do you really want? We are in an age now where church, the main scale church, has moved to the entertainment level. I mean, the one that will pull crowds. There was an age where actually, when people went to church, they knew they were going for spiritual life. But that time is long gone. Yeah? Now, it's only few. It's only the few that are doing it. It's not the many. Yeah? The many are not doing it. Because prayer is not entertaining. Quote, brother. Amen? But prayer is the way you receive strength. Inner strength. Prayer is the way you receive direction. Prayer is the way you receive discernment. Prayer is the way you receive God's intervention. I did not invent prayer. Yeah? Jesus did not invent. God himself, the Father, invented prayer. Prayer is the mechanism by which you invite God into your life on a daily basis. So, when I am praying, I am keeping God in the picture. When I'm not, I am depending on myself. Hallelujah. So like, I just want to run up with this, like, in this church, we have prayer before service. You should be there. It's not only the workers. I understand. If you are looking for entertainment, you will not be there. I get it. But if you really, really want to move to the next level in your relationship with God, you should be there. It's only once a week. The time we used to pray before service, 30 minutes. Sometimes you chat over coffee with your friend for longer than that. Or maybe you are watching a football match. How long is a football match? 90 minutes. What about rugby? 80 minutes. And is there half time and break? Come. That shows you mean business. That's how you grow. Now you say, someone said, but when I'm praying, I'm smoking. That's why you need the church one. Because when you're in this, I'll be there. I'll have fire. That's why I'm a pastor. Come and rub some of it on yourself. Let's generate the fire together. Hallelujah. You need it. You can't live the Christian life with your head. It's a spiritual thing. Yeah? And the ultimate source of spiritual life is God himself. We have to, for my spiritual life to be strong, I have to engage with God. Do you get it? And then we go through the word, through prayer, and through fellowship. If I keep engaging, I'm telling you, it's possible for you to never go dry. Just keep engaging. Hallelujah. Because God himself never runs dry. Do you get it? So come to prayer meeting. Someone say, oh, but it's not entertaining. Yes, that's what. All you need to do to come to prayer meeting is drag yourself there. Yeah? Say to yourself in your mind, instead of coming to church at 10:30, I am coming at 10. Maybe you are late because something happened. You are there 10:05, 10:10. That's okay. Yeah? You will still pray for 20 minutes. Your spiritual life will be moving forward. Hallelujah. You will be ahead of Satan because you are synchronizing with God. In your power, you can't overcome Satan. You need God. Yeah? Backing you up. Hallelujah. And I tell you that God has never stopped loving you. God loves you. He loves unbelievers too. For God so loved the world. That's not the issue. The issue is, how am I responding to that love? How am I engaging with that love? If you engage more, you will receive more. Hallelujah. If you engage more, you will what? God has a lot to give. Hallelujah. You engage. So I'm trying to stir you up today to prayer. Pray always. And there are different kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. If you're not praying at all, you have a spiritual problem. You need help. I'm saying this way for you to understand that. If you know you need help, then the next thing is to seek help. Because if you are like a stool, imagine you have a three-legged stool and one leg is half. Yeah? You come to church, you come to fellowship, but no prayer. Yeah? You are limping spiritually. Yeah? You are just about managing. That's not where God wants to be. So someone said, well, how do I get up with prayer? Come to prayer meeting. I mean, if a coal is losing fire, what do you do? Put it in the center of the fireplace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we say, pray always and stay alive. Let me leave it there. There's only so much you can take for today, so let's leave it there. But I don't want to use this our message and do nothing. Something should change today. Hallelujah. Let it change what? Today. If you cannot pray alone, find somebody else to pray with. Come to church prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Benefits of prayer. You will receive inner strength. Hallelujah. The word is a word of up and downs. Yeah, and in fact, I think it's a more downward today than up. So if you're going to navigate it and keep your sanity mentally and emotionally, you need inner strength. That inner strength will only come from, you know, communication with God. You're praising, you're thanking, you pour out your heart to Him. Tell Him all your frustrations, all your disappointment. Tell Him who stole your song. Yeah? Report. Yeah? Forgive. Repent. Set it all in His presence. Tell Him your needs. He say, He who cares for the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, does He not care about you? Tell Him. Tell Him your needs. Ask for His help. Say, Lord, help me. Yeah? So you receive inner strength when you pray. You also receive this direction. You receive discernment. Then you also receive intervention. Jesus would never have succeeded at the cross if He did not pray before. Do you know how long He prayed that night? How long did Jesus pray at the Garden of Gethsemane? No. Let me give you the maths. He went with His three disciples to the garden. And every time He went there, He said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And how many times did He go to them? Three. So, what's the minimum time He prayed in the garden? 3 hours. Jesus, the Son of God, who had the Holy Spirit without measure. So, someone said, I'm full of the Word. I don't need to pray. No, Jesus is not only full of the Word. He is the Word.